What's going on, everybody? This is Patriot Underground here. Now, before we begin the show tonight, I just want to say a quick word on behalf of my partners over at PatriotUndergroundGold.com. Now, if you haven't already heard by now, major stock market sell-offs have been happening very recently. It was actually reported at the end of Q4 2023 that Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Bill Gates combined to sell off $11 billion worth of shares in companies that they have had very substantial positions in, including their own. Bill Gates, in particular, actually dumped 65% of his portfolio. So obviously, folks, this is preparation for what we know is coming. We've been talking about this for a very long time, a black swan event. You've heard more and more mainstream type figures talk about a black swan event, most recently Katherine Herridge. We know that this is coming. The bottom line is that this news is a barometer of a major economic downturn, bare minimum. So if you have money that's tied up in the stock market, you have a 401k or an IRA, and you haven't diversified or shifted all of your assets out of the fiat debt prison and into precious metals, luckily you still have an opportunity to do so. But I would caution folks that that window is very rapidly closing, because as conditions deteriorate, the demand for gold and silver is going to continue to surge. And even though I'm not a financial advisor, I can read the tea leaves and I can see what's happening. All of us can see what's happening. The direction that the whole world is headed is toward asset-backed currencies. And in the case of the United States, gold and silver specifically. And so if you purchase now, while these precious metals are still being suppressed, you're going to put yourself in a very good position to be able to capitalize on the transition into the new economy, into the quantum financial system, as Nasara and Jassara are rolled out. So I would highly urge people to act now while you still have the opportunity to get in at a very good price and be able to have that peace of mind and knowing that no matter what happens in the stock market, your money is going to be safe and secure in precious metals. And very likely, you're going to capitalize, like I said, on this transition. So click the link below. If this applies to you, don't waste any time, folks. I'm telling you. This is coming, and it's coming fast. PatriotUndergroundGold.com. My partners are absolutely incredible. They're going to work as quickly as you do to bring you the peace of mind that you so richly deserve as we head into this chaotic storm and we experience this financial transition. PatriotUndergroundGold.com. All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.
Welcome, everybody. It's Saturday, March 9th, 2024. Welcome to Channel 17 Town Square. Mark, we're taping this afternoon. So you guys are going to be watching this live at 8 p.m. Eastern. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. And what we're going to have tonight is a fantastic interview we just had with Patriot Underground, somebody who is, I consider to be one of the finest minds in the movement. I've been listening to him for the better part of 3 years now, and he's again, we're very honored to have him on, to have him having reached out to us, because I think that what he does on his channel, Mark, aligns very much with what we're doing over here. What do you think?
100%. He's very intelligent, he's very intuitive, and he's very well spoken. And his beliefs are the same as ours in regard to unity and connecting with other truthers and other patriots. We have to stand together, and I think that you're going to really enjoy this interview. Well worth watching.
Yeah, we all really enjoyed it. It's again exactly what I would have expected out of this fine gentleman, the way he conducts himself on his platform and on the air. Really enjoyed it, and you know, we're going to cover a lot of things. You're going to hear about what we're seeing going on in the community. We transition into a lot of different current events, the State of the Union, the border, the war in Israel, optics, the vaccines. We covered a lot of great topics. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy what you have to see here. So enjoy it. Enjoy the chat. Thank you guys for tuning in. And here's our interview with Patriot Underground.
Enjoy.
All right, everybody. And welcome to Channel 17 Town Square. My name is Dave. With me, as always, my co-host, Mark. And today I am pleased and honored to have a gentleman that is familiar to many of you. For his podcasting that he's been doing for, God, I believe about 3 years now. Somebody that I personally have listened to for years has helped me through a lot of difficult times myself and helped me really get my head into the game when it came to everything that we're living through right now. Patriot Underground, welcome to Channel 17. How are you doing today, my friend?
Well, I'm a little bit under the weather, but it's an honor to be here. I really do appreciate you guys having me on your show, and I'm really looking forward to this. I was telling Mark, I had reached out, folks, I don't know if you told your audience, but I had reached out to Mark. Somebody had sent me a clip of the show, and I was very, very impressed with Mark's analysis, his commentary, his demeanor. And so I started watching, and I checked out a couple other shows, and I was like, wow. And then I saw you, Dave, and I thought to myself, okay, these guys are really seem like they're pretty like-minded. And the more that I watch you, the more that I got excited to have this conversation. I think we're very much on the same page. So thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's an honor to have you.
Thank you,
Honor
sir.
to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, when I kind of got thrust into this, you know, creating this platform, really just about a month ago at this point, you know, so
Amazing.
many we had so many amazing people reaching out and, you know, trying to help us get everything together. And yeah, one of the first names that came up, and I was so pleased to see it because it really meant that like this audience aligned with what so many of us believe in. You were one of the first names that came up, people that said, you know, this is a guy that we want you to collaborate with. And I obviously concur, having watched you myself. And you know, we spoke about this the other day when we did a little pre-show, and we'll get to it in a minute. But yeah, the importance of, I said from the beginning, I think it's important now for us to be banding together. And I think that's one of the things I admire most about you and your platform, especially as you've grown, is that you have the ability and you have the mindset to be able to bring people on with a lot of different perspectives. And yet you still stay very grounded and very centered in your beliefs. But you know, you present a lot of different perspectives to people. And it's something that we've spoken about that's important, I think, right now, is to, you know, be able to look at a bunch of different sources, truthers, whatever you want to call it, and be able to take bits and pieces from each without just bucketing people into these different tribes. And I really love that about your show. And I guess real quick, before we dive too much into anything else, could you know, like I said, most of our audience is familiar with who you are. Most of them, I think, are listeners, but I'm sure we have quite a few people that aren't. Could you just tell everybody a little bit about, you know, kind of who you are, how you got into this? And, you know, I think people always like hearing what was the impetus that kind of got you off the bench, so to speak, to start your podcast. And I think I'm correct. Was it about 3 years ago now?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was the first day of spring 2021. It was March 20th, 2021. I didn't plan it that way. I think it was probably planned by the man upstairs. It's what I've been kind of persuaded. The more that I go on, the more I feel like I'm being led. And I felt that right from the beginning. I didn't really understand it in the beginning. My background is, it's really not all that interesting, I have to tell you. I mean, I think folks are always a little bit disappointed when they hear that I'm nobody special, in the sense that, you know, I've told my audience that, I mean, really going back to my first video, when I had no clue that I was going to ever get a following or anything, I just intuitively sensed that that people needed to hear right from the get-go that I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just an ordinary American. And I have an opinion, just like everybody else out there. And like you said, my approach is, I think my approach is what draws people to my show primarily, because I don't look at the information through a very narrow lens. I try to cast a wide net. And certainly there aren't too many people out there in this community that I wouldn't be open to talking to. And the more that my show grows, it's funny, because in the beginning, you know, I really didn't get a lot of pushback. You know, I had folks on my show. I was very fortunate. I had Gene Decode on about a month into my show, and, you know, he kind of helped develop my platform and helped me, you know, put me on the map and so forth. And I kind of grew from there. I started to, you know, I started to connect with other people. And back in those days in 2001, and this is something that we were kind of talking about the other night, or actually it was about a week ago now, we had our telephone conversation, but, you know, it was a different vibe within the community. Everybody, I think, after the election was stolen and all of that, there was a sense of unity that kind of reminds me of the early days after 9/11. You know, when the whole country, really the whole world, for the most part, felt like it was, you know, everybody just came together. There's this amazing sense of unity. A terrible tragedy occurred, of course, and obviously at the time, we all, I think most of us, kind of bought into the narrative. Of course, today we have a very different understanding of what occurred that day, but that's not really the point. The point is that there was unity. And then very shortly thereafter that, I think the deep state recognized that unity and they did everything that they could to destroy it before it really gained traction. And I see our movement, a lot of similarities, a lot of parallels there. I think that in the early days, at least from my perspective, yes, there have always been various different narratives and viewpoints and personalities. That's nothing new. But I think it was more universally embraced by our community, the idea that we were going to have different points of view, that we were going to disagree on certain things, and not everybody had nobody had a monopoly on the truth, that it was a collective effort for all of us to pool together our talents, whatever we've been blessed with, to get closer to the truth and to try to figure out what's happening. And I think, you know, you fast forward from, excuse me, those early days in my podcasting journey, you know, the spring of 2021, and then you fast forward to now and look where we're at. It's pretty incredible. Not only has the vibe within the community, the overall, I guess you could say divisiveness is probably the best word to use a single word. The divisiveness has just grown exponentially. And for me personally, the more my show grows, the more I get criticism about who I interview, who I talk to. This is something that has gotten quite out of control. As a matter of fact, I think really because I read the comments just like you guys. And, you know, if we're being honest here, all of us are human. And I read the comments and I see all types of people saying, oh, you should stay away from this person, stay away from that person, pick a lane, you know, all this stuff, this group mentality. The way I look at it is kind of like this, almost like a witch hunt inside a mob mentality, guilt by association. All of these classic witch hunt characteristics are forming within our community. It's unfortunate. But I will say this, that I'm not a person who gets bullied, pressured, told what to do, dictated to. If anything, if you tell me what to do, I'm probably going to do the opposite just to spite you. That's just kind of, you know, my honest personality. I mean, if you tell me don't talk to these people, I'm going to say to myself, screw you. I'm going to talk to whoever I want to talk to. And I'm going to get information from whomever I want to get it. And, you know, the interesting part is, and I'm sure you could probably relate to this yourself, and you guys are doing amazing. I mean, you have almost 11,000 subscribers on Rumble in 1 month. I mean, that's phenomenal. So kudos to you. And I guarantee you that you'll, if you're not already experiencing this, you're going to get more and more of it as your show continues to grow. You're going to get targeted. The trolls come out, but it's not really just the trolls. I think it's the more that you grow and the more that folks, it's an ironic thing. The more that people resonate with you and your platform grows and people develop trust, the more your platform gets attacked. I've always looked at that as, you know, a sign that you're over the target and that you're a threat. Because you are speaking the truth. Now, I don't claim to have all the answers. Like I said, I'm an ordinary guy. I don't really get in. I don't get into, because I still do have a level of anonymity. When I started my show, Dave, you probably remember if you've been listening for a while, I didn't turn my camera on until very recently. I never wanted the attention. I'm a very private person. I certainly have not shared my name, my full identity with the world, what I do for work or for a living, details about my background, because I don't really think it's relevant, especially when I'm not presenting myself as an expert. I'm not saying I have intel sources. I'm not trying to lead people into some, deceptive narrative based upon, some being somebody or presenting myself as somebody that I'm not. And I think that really just gives me a lot of freedom to explore the truth the way that I feel compelled to explore it. And that's really, I think that word best describes my approach. I have an exploratory approach to the truth. I don't have to agree wholeheartedly with any individual. And quite frankly, of all the people that I've interviewed, I've yet to have an experience where I agreed with anybody on every single point.
Right.
Yet people, I still get these things in the comments, like, you have this person on, you have that person on. It's like, you're implying your agreement, you're implying your consent by having these individuals on your show. And it's just such a disingenuous way to look at things and such a really narrow-minded viewpoint. I mean, this is the Great Awakening. As far as I'm concerned, you cast as wide a net as possible. You sift through it. You use your own discernment. And it's not up to me. It's not up to you guys to determine what your audience thinks. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to present people with information. And they are going to have to come up with their own opinions. And I think that that's something that's a spirit that's been kind of gotten lost along the way, unfortunately, because don't get me wrong. I do think there's good reason for that. In certain cases, if you talk about the length of the war, and you guys were discussing this on your show last night, and Dave, you made some really great points. We've been at this for a while. Everybody's tired. We all understand that, we're battle weary. We're frustrated. We're angry. We're all of these things. Like I said, we're human. And it's normal to feel all of that. But at the same time, I think what's happened is that it's created a very fertile environment in our community for cynicism. And also, when you've got the cynicism, you've laid that groundwork. It opens up all different types of possibilities for different narratives and different individuals to come in to manipulate people. And my approach right from the beginning is just to be to try to give folks an honest portrayal of what it is that I'm thinking and feeling, my best analysis, and not mislead anyone, not manipulate anyone. And now I feel as if there are certain elements in our community that I think are very much manipulating. They're the ones who are doing the manipulating, and they're redirecting it at all of the truthers out there, as if because the things that we haven't talked about. The things that we have talked about maybe haven't come true, or maybe haven't happened in the way that we thought they were going to happen, and so on and so forth. Now there's this big push to just start pointing fingers at everybody and expose the truthers, expose the liars, expose the grifters and things like that. I mean, I've even gotten accused of that, being a grifter. And I say to people, well, how much have you had to spend to listen to my work? It hasn't cost you 1 cent, one penny. To come and listen to what I have to say. I have affiliates on my show, and I have certain ways of monetizing my show, but my work is always been free. It always will be. But the point is the attacks are coming fast and furious. But I also believe that that's a sign that we are, number one, that we're getting very, very close, because there's panic, there's hardcore panic. And number two, like I said, if you're not getting attacked as a truther, you're probably not doing a good job.
You're not meaningful.
Yeah. I mean, they view you as a threat if you're effective and you can connect with people. And I said to people, it's amazing to me that you can be viewed as such a threat And yet at the same time, you could admit to everybody that you don't really have any of the answers. I say that to people all the time. I don't really have any of all the answers. And yet still in all, you know, they're threatened by that, because I think that what really scares the deep state is the type of mentality that I think we share. This neutral approach to the truth without getting sucked into that divisiveness. That's the tactic. That's what they want us to do. I mean, I was interviewing Dave XRP Lion. You know, I got all types of flack for interviewing him. Before him, it was Kerry Cassidy. Before that, it was Mike Gill. Before that, it was somebody else. I mean, no matter who I have on my show now, I get attacked for it. And
yeah,
I think
it's and I just real quick, I want to interject something, because I think you made a really important point there. I think that's one of the things that's always resonated with me as a listener myself. And I try to kind of model things after that as well, which is, and I say the exact same thing, Mark, too, like we're here with you. We're one of you guys. Right. And I think what has always resonated with me is, and what I've always felt is like, I never planned on having a show. Obviously my website I started building in 2021, but again, like you, it was designed to be like anonymous. I did it because I was trying to get information out to family and friends, and I was sick of fighting and getting called crazy. And so I literally became an anonymous person and did that. And through, you know, the different stories and routes, I ended up here. To me, when I do content and I listen to other people, and what resonates with me about you is, I think the biggest need that people have in the community is almost like I don't want to call it like a companion, but like that sense of community of like you because, and I say this all the time, I know it's repetitive, but Captain Kyle and I were talking about this the other night. There's no playbook for this, right? Like we can't call my grandfather was in the last psychological war, I'll call him. Like there isn't, there's no history book for it. And that's because of that, we've all been kind of relegated to these little groups. You know, Mark is lucky enough that he's got a wife that's awake. But most of our listeners, it's like split households. One's awake, one's not. And you can't walk to the corner restaurant or, you know, the corner bar and talk about this stuff. And I think that's what, and I think the reason you do so well and you do get attacked much like me is because we're actually telling people the answers, but because we're asking the questions.
That's
right. And that's what I respect about you and the way you do your show. And I try to do the same thing. You know, Mark and I spend a lot of our time when we're presenting information. You know, if you watched last night, you know, obviously, it's most of the time we do it the way Q did it, which is we're asking questions. Hey, look at what I'm showing you. Like, does this make sense? Right. Is this adding up? Is this how you would do it if you were in charge? And that's a lot of what, you know, you kind of do that I think is really needed, because people just don't have anywhere to go. And I think that, you know, again, I respect the fact that you have so many different people on, and it's something we've spoken about here, which is, you know, how can we really ascend and break out of this matrix that we've all been tied up in? If we're only going to listen to people that 100% think exactly like we do, you know, we all talk about dark and light and that contrast that has to exist. Like, well, if you don't present different viewpoints, how can we analyze everything? If we think that we have it all figured out and we all just hang out in these, you know, if I go and find,
you know, that's what a lot of people are pushing for. The same thing that they have in the mainstream media. They want an echo chamber. They just want to hear what they believe, you know, parroted back to them.
Well, right? this is why, to start out with, I've got to disagree with what you said at the beginning. You're not an ordinary guy. You are special. We're special. Everybody who's awake is special, because Dave and I and my wife also have asked the same question a number of times. Why us? Why are we awake and so many people aren't? Why do we understand that we're seeing history being made, and yet we're trying to red pill all these other people? We're trying to bring more enlightenment to those that are awake. And I had mentioned it today a number of times, but I mentioned it last night on the show, that we went to a couple of the Reawaken America tours. And it's wonderful to to be in amongst a bunch of like-minded people. But you're in amongst 3,000 or 4,000 people who are aware that there are problems and who are aware that things need to be fixed, but they're not really aware of what's transpiring. They're not really aware of what's going on behind the scenes, how we're progressing toward the goal, toward the Great Awakening. And these are things that when you look at us and you look at all of the people who are in your audience, the people who are in our audience, who listen and contribute and ask questions and do research and everything, all these people are awake at this point for a reason. And that makes them special. That doesn't make them ordinary people. The ordinary people are going about waiting online for the next iPhone.
Well, point well taken. Absolutely. You know, I've always approached this, and I still do, from a place of, I guess, humility. You know, my experience in my life is that, and every time I start to get a little too full of myself, God humbles me really quickly. And I see now there's a reason for that. The same way I see that there's a reason for all the things that happened in my life that I could never understand, including my job that I don't particularly love, but I can kind of see the connection now between what I'm coming into and why I needed to go that route. But, you know, you make some great points, Mark. I mean, my allegiance has always been to the truth. It's never been to a narrative. It's never been to an individual. It's never even, I mean, as much as I even believe in the Q operation, and I do wholeheartedly, ultimately, my allegiance even transcends that. It's whatever the truth is. Yep. That's the direction that I'm going to go. And because I don't know what the truth is, and quite frankly, nobody who's out there in media, mainstream or otherwise, who knows anything is actually divulging any type of details about the plan, any operational details, they'd never be compromised. I think really getting back to, you know, what we were talking about a moment ago, and this is, of course, connected, is it's about not taking the bait. You see, that's what the deep state wants. They're dangling the bait in front of all the truthers out there. And they're trying to get people to pick a lane, choose a side, and so forth. When the reality of the matter is that the vast majority of the people in your audience, the people in my audience, and all the audiences out there, they don't want to choose a lane. They want a neutral approach. Sure, they want to hear what my opinions are. They want to hear my analysis the same way they want to hear Dave's, the same way they want to hear yours. I mean, I want to hear your analysis too. But it's not about picking a side. We don't know what side. We don't know all the information. It's totally illogical to do that. So, you know, how can we ascend? I think that's how we're doing. And I think that maintaining a sense of neutrality amidst all of this disinformation, amidst all of these different voices and pressure to conform, to become a part of this, you know, to jump on board with, you know, all of these different litmus tests to virtue signal that you're a good person. I mean, that's something that's happening within our community as well. This is all, in my view, it's a very dark agenda. And I think it's all geared toward trying to disrupt what we started with tonight, which was the concept of unity that we've been building. And, you know, I'm not one to point fingers at people. That's the other thing. I mean, I think that folks appreciate, too, about my work and about yours as well. What I've seen, you guys, you don't talk negatively about people. You know, you're not out there pointing fingers. You're not out there with an agenda trying to tear people down. And quite frankly, I think the people who are engaged in that type of behavior, sure, they may be having their moment right now. But the fact of the matter is people tire of it. And I think people are going to get really sick of it after a while. They're going to realize that that there is an agenda going on here.
See, but the scary part about that is, as you guys started to discuss before, and we've brought up numerous times, is this lynch mob mentality that's coming about with some of these people.
Yep.
When you watch and you listen to what they're preaching out there, and they have, some of them have fairly large audiences, and it is extremely divisive. It's extremely negative. And then you've got that rally crush of this lynch mob mentality behind them. You know, basically it's the Salem witch hunt. You know, they're looking for the witch to tie to the stake and burn them as soon as they possibly can.
Yeah, that's what happens during a witch hunt. It's you abandon logic, reason, and common sense, go right out the window, And you just completely go, you know, with this mob mentality that's based entirely on knee-jerk reactions to things that, you know, quite frankly, you're right. It is scary. It is dangerous. And I think that those of us in the community who don't think that way, who don't subscribe to that type of an ideology, I think we have to stand against it. And I don't think we have to point fingers in order to do so. That's not who we are. That's the difference. You see, we can talk about the issues. We can talk about the paradigm. We can take the temperature within our community without becoming part of that divide, without getting baited into it. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, I go and check my comments, my Telegram every single day. They're trying to bait me into saying something, to talking negatively about somebody else, as if I don't understand, as if I can't see, and I'm that stupid, and I can't tell that they're trying to dangle this bait in front of me in order to. I mean, it's like I've got all these people saying, oh, you know, if you keep interviewing that person, you're going to lose support. And I just point to them. I say, well, you know, my numbers keep going up. And when you look at the and this is not, I don't say this in a braggadocious type of sense at all. It's just simply to point out. And it's the same thing with your channel. I looked at your channel last night. I mean, you may have had a few trolls on there who think that they speak for everybody. But the reality is you had like north of 800 people with giving a thumbs up and maybe one or two people giving a thumbs down. And, you know, the bigger your show grows, sure, you'll have maybe 30 people, 40 people giving you a thumbs down, but then you'll have 2,000, 3,000 people giving you a thumbs up. We know who the majority is. And so these people come into the chat and, you know, they try to. And the reason I think this is important to point out is because a lot of folks out there don't really, they do go directly to the comments. And Mark, you and I have talked about, you know, actually the three of us talked about, and I've heard you speak about it before, that people are lazy. A lot of folks are really lazy. And research has proven that people will go to a video and they'll go to the comments first and they'll look at the comments first. Why do you think that they go in? They send in their troll armies to the comments because they don't want you to watch the video. As a matter of fact, I see them all the time. Oh, I was about to watch this video, but then I came in here and I saw all these comments and now I don't want to waste my time with it because they're in the business of trying to influence and manipulate the audience because they know that what we're doing, the approach that we're taking is deadly to them because if we don't take the bait and we can be leaders in that sense and we can provide this kind of bridge for the audience to be able to navigate this entire process without falling into all these different traps, that's what the deep state is fears. That's what they're afraid of. It's not that I have the answers or you have the answers. It's that we have the right attitude and the right approach. And that's what they're trying to destroy.
I think also go ahead, Dave.
And you're teaching people to think.
That's right.
You know, and there's all those cue drops that talk about you awake is their greatest fear, right? That's right. What it is. And, you know, you made a really important point there that I want to repeat. And that's, again, the kind of data, the kind of just common sense data that you bring to your shows that I really appreciate that I try to do here as well, is understanding the system. And now, invariably, guys, we're going to get, I promise you, because it happened the last time we had a conversation like this, I'm going to get comments in this show of people saying,
stay away from Patriot Underground. He's associated with Kerry Cassidy, or he's associated with this one. I mean,
yeah. And if they don't attack you, what they're going to do is they're going to say that we're tired of this conversation. Stop telling us how to think. I get that as well. And
that's the whole point. We're not telling you how to think.
Right.
I think that's the whole point.
It's an important conversation.
But they are.
That's right.
Key to it. We're not, but they are. They are immediately pointing the finger and branding you as this, that, or the other because of your associations, guilt by association.
Right.
Without the facts.
Right.
Without the receipts. Just going at you and convincing their little minions to go out, kind of like senior moment, the black congresswoman from California. Maxine Waters. You know, wherever they are, you gather everybody together and you go after them. And this is that same type of mentality. Yep. And I think to a certain extent, it's purposely being done to show, number one, who the good guys are, who the bad guys are in both the Patriot and the Truth of Communities, but also they don't want the unity. Because united, you're strong.
And it's Mark, the reason it's important to have this conversation, like Patriot just said as well, is because this is no different than where we've spent the last, depending on how long you've been involved in this movement, whether it's 7 years, 3 years, 2 years, but everyone's spent years of their life now analyzing, watching documentaries, talking about Operation Mockingbird and how they manipulate our media and, you know, the Hollywood system, right? Well, what we're talking about right now is the same exact manipulation that's happening within this community. And it's a conversation that needs to happen, whether people are sick of it or not, whether people think we're lecturing them or not. That's not for me to decide. People are going to say what they say, but it you need to bring awareness to it, because, you know, again, it's something you just said, Patriot, that they've done studies. Wow. Studies, data. What a concept, right? But it's fact. I know what you're saying. That absolutely, they have done studies. That is how the comments work. There's people that are tack comments because they want you. They know that people will read the comments. They'll scroll before they go into it, and they're going to make a decision. And it's important to have this conversation because, you know, again, another thing Q talks about the digital battlefield, right? Q taught you how to be on multiple platforms, back up your data, you know, use different handles, et cetera. Like, that's what this is. And it's important to understand what these people are doing to manipulate you. And, you know, it's the same thing that often comes up. And I just lost my train of thought with kind of the what you were talking about with the way people are attacking and exposing truthers, right? Now, if that's what people choose to do, that's what people choose to do. I can't do anything about it. I stay out of it. I'm not going to worry about it. But what I find troubling that I wish more people would recognize, and I think that's where kind of people, we try to tell people, you know, when you're sharing stuff in channels, like, slow down, look at what it's saying, see if it's sourced, see where it's coming from. Not because we're criticizing the person that's sharing it, but if it's coming from a place where, you know, like Mark talks about that mob mentality. I remember specifically during George Floyd, I had a friend that was a senior producer for a pretty major news station. I remember we were sitting having beers one night. I looked at him. I said, man, don't you guys think you have a responsibility? Like, you're really riling people up. You're running that clip like four times an hour. Don't you think you guys have a responsibility to like slow it down a little bit? Not, you know, you're. And he looked at me, he's like I was crazy, you know, because they were getting the clicks and everything. And I guess that's my point with this mob mentality, this attack mentality is, I always say this, if people want to discuss other truthers and spitball about who they are, that's their right. But when a channel or a group or a person spends days, weeks, and months on end doing nothing but attacking others, and they've completely lost sight. You know, guys, what do we hate CNN for? Right? Like, why do we hate CNN? Because they spent the last 7 years barely reporting the news and just attacking Trump. Like, how is that different when you translate that into one of these channels or one of these groups? So, you know, I always tell people, just consider the source, right? Consider not just what they're doing and how they're conducting themselves, but what their belief structure is. And that's, you and I spoke about this. That's the most I'm ever going to say about another truther. People will come in, they'll say, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about this guy? And what I'll point out, you know, it's okay. I'll say Mike Gill's name. We've spoken about this. Mike, he's passionate about what he does. He clearly believes what he's saying. I'm not going to say anything beyond that. But when somebody asks me about something that he particularly says, and I'm not picking on the guy, it's just, this is what my thought process is. And I think this is what everyone's thought process is. If he's saying X, Y, and Z is happening, but his basis of where he's coming from is he doesn't believe in white hats or military control or anything else, guys, just think about what that means for the question you're asking. And that's all I say on the matter, right? You guys can believe whatever. I'm not going to tell bad, good. I don't play those games. And I agree with you. I'm glad. That's why I love that you had him on your show, right?
Yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Talk about it. Absolutely. But if you're going to come in and say, this guy said this, therefore I'm, you know, we get it all the time. People come and they say, this guy said this. Oh my God, it's horrible. I got to go get rid of my kids. But wait a second. The guy that said it doesn't believe in the same things you do. Why are you getting pulled off track? So that's the most I'll ever say about another truther. It's not a good or bad thing. It's listen to what they say. You might be able to take certain things. Absolutely. Listen to everybody. But before you make a decision on what they're saying or a scenario they're presenting, maybe about where we're headed or whatever, like you got to know where they're coming from. You got to know what their operational base is, right? And it's just like if I talk to one of my normal friends and I'm talking about what's happening in the world, they think I'm crazy because my basis is we're under military control.
Right.
And vice versa. If I'm talking to them and they think Biden's president and the economy's great and, you know, there really are 14 million migrants coming in, I have to understand that they're coming from a basis of mainstream media. But you can't just bounce between every little soundbite and clip that somebody puts out. You're going to drive yourself crazy.
This is also part, and we've discussed this a bunch of times, of the direction. A lot of people, especially now, and I find it kind of amusing, having come from mainstream media and looking at mainstream media, looking at what's happening with Telegram especially, but with everything out there, people like to throw around, when you cut them off or you ban them from a chat, well, you're violating my First Amendment rights. And people tend to forget that freedom, rights, all come with responsibility. And nobody wants to be responsible for anything anymore. So as a, for instance, when we're having, like we did a few weeks ago, a very brave young woman came on Respect and was talking about how close she was to the edge and the trials and tribulations she went to, losing family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, going through all of this stuff. And then you see people in the chat or in the comments section posting stuff about somebody else that has absolutely nothing to do with the discussion. It's just, you know, running into the room, throwing a grenade and running out. That's not being responsible. That's violating other people's rights. And people have to start thinking, not just along their, again, mob mentality rule, but as a whole, as a community, how you're affecting other people. And is your point, whether you feel it's valid or not, is your point appropriate? Is your point timely? And is your point really necessary? And this is where we have to try and really, in the process of trying to unite the communities, this is where we really have to go forward trying to change human nature and try to get everything to work, because we're putting out information, we're putting out sensibilities, and people can agree or disagree with them, and that's all well and fine. You could bring up other truthers and talk about them, as long as you're keeping it logical and civil and respectful without bringing up something that isn't even based in fact.
Well, I think that part of the reason they do that is because they know that that's the quickest way to get people to override their common sense, their logic, their reason, is to trigger them with an emotional response to something, to information, whether it's true, whether it's not true. Like you said, they throw the grenade in there. It's like the emotional grenade. It's meant to cause, to stir people up. It's meant to get people angry. As far as the truthers go, the actual platform host, it's meant to serve as a distraction for them. It's meant to, I mean, these are all tactics. We have to remember we're at war, and the war is playing out on our platforms as well. It's an information war. It's a fifth generational war. There's multi different levels to it. We all know that, but we're at war. And the enemy tactic, regardless of whether it's on the actual battlefield or whether it's in the informational space, the narrative space, whether it's, you know, spirituality, whether it's, you know, political, no matter what it is, It's divide, 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 divide by any means necessary. They're not there to have a rational conversation. That's the other thing we have to realize, too. It's like, you know, you mentioned, you know, people's First Amendment rights. Absolutely. I completely agree. But, you know, I've said this to people before that, you know, you have the right to say what you want to say, but you don't have the right to come into my house and spray paint it all over my walls.
Yeah.
I don't have to live with it. Yes. Okay. And I don't have to have my family, whether it's my actual family or my digital family, live with it either. And if I know that you're there specifically for nefarious reasons, I'm like, look, if you want to have a conversation, you want to criticize something I say, something my guests say, and you want to make it about the content, fine. But if you start going into attacking people, that's when I draw the line. And I just say that to me is a direct indication that an individual is not there to have a rational conversation. They're there with a military type of a tactic to divide and conquer. That's what's going on. We are at war. And, you know, as much as I'd love to just say to folks, you know, and I had this attitude really early on in my show, you know, I didn't want to censor anyone, block anyone, do anything like that. I always wanted to err on the side of that. But the more I got into it, the more I realized that these are more than just, you know, individuals who are, you know, trolling, whatever. This is a military tactic that is being deployed within our community. And we have to fight back against it. We have to call it out for what it is. But at the same time, we also have to make sure that in the process, see, what they're hoping we're going to do is we're going to get angry and have this conversation, but do it in a way where we start pointing fingers at everybody. The thing that's going to piss them off is they're going to watch this and they're going to realize we didn't do that. We called them out without falling into their trap and playing their game. That's exactly what they're trying to do. I think folks need to most folks, I think, in our audiences are at a certain level of consciousness where they can recognize this. But there are more and more people who are waking up every single day who are confused. They don't know what to think. They don't know who to trust. They don't know where to go to get reliable information. And the deep state knows that they're going to gravitate toward individuals like myself, people like you, and other platforms who basically come from a place of neutrality and do the very best they can to provide folks with truthful information. And that's where they're going to attack. Notice Absolutely. That, you know, nobody's really attacking the attackers. You go onto their channels, you don't see it.
You get banned. You get blocked.
And who's questioning these people? That's the other thing. I mean, all these folks out there who are pointing fingers at everybody else. Have we done our due diligence and really, do we really even know who these people are? Do we really even necessarily know if they're good guys?
That's right.
And sure, they want me to say that, but then they want me to add five or six names to it so that then they can take that out of context and they can use it and then they can create the division. Sorry.
Not going to happen.
Which is exactly what the mainstream media has done for decades.
And the government and everything else. Yeah. Exactly. And that's you know what, guys? It's I love the way this worked out because this is actually a brilliant segue into, I think, connecting what we're talking about to some current events because – I want to remind everybody of this little famous Q drop here, right? Where it says 80% dark ops necessary, 20% for public justice, right? We've all seen this Q drop. And I reminded everyone of this last night because I'm starting to see something coming into the community just since the State of the Union, I always have to use the air quotes, on Thursday night. That I think relates directly back to what we're talking about here, this kind of controlled, fabricated divisiveness that they try to inject. I say this to people, you can argue till you're blue in the face, and many of us do. But you can't win an argument if you don't have all the facts yet. Like by definition, two people could sit there all day and debate for 10 days straight. But if neither one of them had the complete picture, how can either one of them win the argument? Right. And that's what I point to that cue drop, because I don't know if you've noticed as yet, Patriot, but there seems to be this. And we knew this was coming. I don't think anybody is going to be surprised by what's about to come out of my mouth. But all of a sudden, there seems to be this regurgitation of why didn't Donald Trump warn us about the vaccines? Why didn't Donald Trump do more against COVID? It's all over X. It's been seeping into, I see it in our chat. I see it all over the place. And it had to do with some of the things that Donald Trump said during the State of the Union about the vaccine and the effectiveness and that it's being used for cancer treatment now and all these different things. And again, to me, it screams that there's somebody pushing these narratives out there. And unfortunately, they are taking advantage of a lot of very weary, tired, as you said, confused patriots that are in these communities. And I think it's an important topic to discuss and kind of revisit, because like you said, Patriot, we're at war. Okay. We're at war. And I'm going to say one thing right now, real quick, on the vaccines. And I want to hear what you guys have to say. I have a very, you know, I could go into the whole, and I posted on my Telegram channel, some of the takes that other people have had on what went on with the vaccines and how they had an agenda to keep us locked down for years. And, you know, we'll talk about all that stuff. I'd love you guys to get into it. But I when people ask me this question, why did it go down this way? This is the best analogy I can give them. You're Donald Trump. And yes, you know COVID is coming. No, you can't stop it because you frankly don't have control of the complete media and the pharmaceutical industry as of yet. There's nothing you can do to stop it. So you come up with scenarios to mitigate it, right? You get three options. Number one, you do nothing. And then you know that on the Georgia Guidestones, they wanted to reduce us to 500 million people. So you do nothing and you let them move forward with an agenda that could potentially kill billions of people. That's option one. Option two is you immediately step in and try to do something. And you cause chaos. You cause likely backlash from the deep state. And clearly, if you use common sense, that scenario had more deaths and more destruction and more harm than the one we went to. Or you have option three, which is, yes, there might be potentially tens or hundreds of thousands of people that may die and suffer. But that's the least, you know, when you put the chart up, that's the least deaths. That is the least destruction of business. It's the least destruction of relationships. In other words, it's the lesser of three evils. And those are the only three choices you are presented with. So if a man as a commander in chief at a time of war is presented with three options of engagement, and he selected the one, the only one that had the least amount of death, destruction, and harm, how on earth can people criticize this man?
It's called being uninformed. You know, so like I said before, you got awake, you got aware, and you've got asleep. Between the aware and the asleep, you have a whole bunch of people who don't understand every time that Trump was talking about, you know, that he got the jab for COVID and this and that and the other. He didn't get the mRNA from Pfizer or the other one. He got the Zelenko protocol and Regeneron. Whole different protocol. But he did get the COVID jab. If you're awake, you know what it was. If you're aware or asleep, you know, how can he promote the jab if it killed all these people? This is the mentality. Again, the guy on the screen told you this. It's got to be so.
But Mark, it's seeping, you know, Patriot, I'd love to hear your take on this. And you're right, everything you just said, you're absolutely right. But where I'm specifically addressing right now is where it's seeping into our communities. It's seeping into the Q community. It's almost like there are people trying to, you know, maybe take advantage of, like you said, those less aware people that are, I guess, maybe are new to the movement or aren't, maybe just haven't fallen down that rabbit hole yet of what they had planned for us with the FEMA camps and everything else. And again, it's just something that it's on my radar right now because I'm seeing it pop up. And Mark, I think you're absolutely right. It's like they're taking that uninformed, which any of us, I know I'm speaking for myself, at least, this has been a conversation that different Anons and truthers have been talking about for years. Look, we're going to get to this point where as the truth starts to come out, Now it's going to shift from Donald Trump screwed up, you know, the COVID response to Donald Trump is responsible for the COVID response and the vaccine. And what are we going to do when that day comes? And I kind of want to stay out in front of it, but it seems like it's starting to pop up now. And I agree. It's to me, it seems like there is somebody at the helm trying to take advantage of those people, like Mark said, that don't realize just how bad things would have gotten had Trump and the military not intervened.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I've done entire shows, as I'm sure you guys have talked about, the vaccine issue going back a long time. I don't think it's really necessary to rehash all the different, you know, all the different reasons. I mean, we could spend an entire hour talking about the different possibilities of what would have happened had Trump taken. Like, I mean, you laid it out very succinctly, right? It was basically the path that had to be taken, because it was really the only path where they actually had the option of saving the most lives. And most people can't really see that. And Trump has made a lot of statements about the vaccine, but let's also not forget, we didn't have a compulsory situation, right? He didn't. He told people right from the very beginning that it was important that they make up their own minds. I mean, he may have gone out and said, "Yes, I got the jab. Yeah, I recommend it." But as Mark pointed out, he wasn't talking about the mRNA jab, and it was up to you to figure that out. But you know, he made statements that were, I think, indicative of what we want is basically freedom of choice, right? We wanted the ability to either make that decision to take it or not take it. That's what Trump gave everybody. And when you really think about it, and there's whole different conversations that we can get into about the military and the, you know, certain batches and the saline. I mean, there's a whole conversation to be had there, but I think what it really all boils down to is that this is a war over consciousness, human consciousness. The Great Awakening is all about having humanity. I mean, we used the word ascension a little while ago, but ultimately transcend the third dimension and move into the fifth dimension. It's all about consciousness. And when you think about the statements that Trump has had to make, and I was kind of talking about the same issue, but in a different context on a recent interview when I was asked about Trump's support of Israel seemingly not to not to shift the conversation in that direction. But the idea was, you know, how come he's just, you know, getting all, you know, behind Israel? The rest of the world seems to be criticizing and Trump isn't, and this and that. And one of the things that I talked about, and I think it's very important for folks to understand, is that if you're the president of the United States, you have to it's not as if you just consider one segment of your base of support. Right. Trump has a massive, massive base of support that, of course, I mean, he's the most popular American a political figure in history. And so that, I mean, he's got all different types of folks from, you know, people like us who are, you know, on the, you know, the Truth or Patriot side of things. But then there's this huge swath of just mainline Republicans. Right. And in the context of Israel, I was talking about how they've been, you know, brainwashed in church to think that they have to support Israel no matter what. It's never even a question. It's never even a debate. You're not even allowed to have that debate, because if you are, then you're a bad Christian. You think Trump doesn't know that? Of course he knows that. Do you think that he doesn't have to contend with all of these different segments of his base? I mean, so he's got to walk a very fine line. He's got to deliver the truth to the patriot community in coded ways, but he also has to play the game, and he has to wait for the gradual process of awakening to occur, for the gradual process of people's consciousness to raise. And then eventually what ends up happening? I mean, look, you can say whatever you want about Trump and the vaccine, and you can criticize it all day long, but about 98% of people aren't getting any more boosters or jabs.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like what you were talking about, Dave, the other night, you know, when you were getting into the State of the Union and breaking it all down and this and that. Like, at the end of the day, you can criticize Trump's tactics all you want, but the plan is working. And these, the statistics, the numbers that we're seeing, and you made a really good point. Don't just base your viewpoint on the Great Awakening on your spouse and a couple of your coworkers. I mean, it would serve you a lot better to look at the vaccine issue and say, no matter what Trump did or didn't do, no matter what you want to criticize, there would have been far more people dead had he chosen either one of those other two options. And now we're at a place where 98% of the public I mean, I know that's, you know, don't, I'm not going to take that number to the bank, but I've heard that, you know, it's in the high 90s of people who are done with the whole COVID thing. Yep. And what do we see happening more and more? They just keep dropping more and more of these mandates and more of this bullshit, and people are awakened to it. And so really what it comes back to again is it's about consciousness. Trump understands the fact that there's nothing that he's going to come out and say on any given day that's just going to magically flip a switch in people's minds. As a matter of fact, that does the opposite. If he were to attack this issue head on, if he were to come out and said, oh, the vaccine is deadly. Oh, it's going to poison you. Oh, don't take it. Don't take it. Whatever you do. What effect would that have had? Sure. Inside of our community, we would have all been loving it. But what effect would that have had in the world at large, in the country at large? He's the president of the United States, not just the president of the truther community. You know, and that's the thing I think that people have to understand. We talk a lot about optics and people don't want to hear it. Well, sorry, the truth is the truth. It doesn't care whether or not you believe it's the truth. Optics are important. They're absolutely vital in a fifth generational war when the entire question of victory or defeat hinges upon consciousness, hinges upon the collective moving in the right direction and being able to naturally, gradually, organically discover the truth for themselves. And you can't just simply rip, you can't rip away layers and layers and decades. I mean, and even if you want to go into it, you know, I mean, we're talking about like this, we were born into this world after, you know, our parents, their parents, I mean, they've been conditioning people for decades and decades, if not hundreds and hundreds of years. You don't just simply undo that conditioning in one fell swoop. That's why it's taking so long and people don't like it. Hey, I don't like it either. But the fact of the matter is Trump will make a statement, whatever he says today, you think he really cares about what he says today or yesterday or that what Trump cares about is victory. He said it so many times. That's what he cares about. It's victory for humanity. It's not about how we get there. It's not about, you know, getting all tied up in the weeds. And I say this all the time. You can't get so focused on the trees that you forget that you're in the forest. You have to scroll out. You have to look at the big picture. And, you know, so look, I think that Trump has to walk a very fine line. He can't alienate his base, because if he does that, then he becomes less effective as a leader. And
think about what you just said about that. An important point you made about Israel, and it connects to the vax as well. And I'm glad that you just explained all that, because it's something it's very important to understand when you say about playing the game. Right. I mean, think about it, Patriot. That connects back to what, you know, you and Mark were just talking about before with what we have to contend with as semi-public, whatever you want to call it, figures of being out there and doing this. Right. We know right now that if I bring up the subject of flat Earth one way or another, half the audience or a certain percentage are going to turn this podcast off, and they are not going to hear the message of what we're talking about with all this other stuff that's important. There are obviously certain controversials on both sides, truthers, that the second that name or the other name or this name comes up, that these people will start fighting over that, and then they don't hear the message. So yeah. When people, I agree with you, when people go, why is he still supporting Israel? Because in the grand scheme of what we need to make people aware of, which is first and foremost that your government's trying to kill you. Actually, first and foremost that your government's trying to kill your children. And secondly, that they're trying to kill you. And thirdly, that they're corrupt and stealing your money. And then fourth, that they're rigging elections. All of that comes before the truth about Israel. All of that comes before many other things. And they've designed a system where Israel itself is so controversial that if you say something, that dominates the narrative, immediately goes to that. So guys, don't you think that's the thought process, right? When you address a room of people and you're trying to make a point about, you know, they'll even tell you when they teach people, you know, how to do public addresses, they'll tell you if you're, you know, a woman, don't wear something too revealing. If you're a guy, don't wear something too controversial, because then the people are paying more attention to what you're doing than the presentation you're trying to make. And it's the same logic, right? You have to know And that's where it goes back to that Q drop that I'm talking about. And I mentioned this last night, the 80% dark ops, 20% public. If you think we've seen a fraction of public, you haven't yet. And many people right now are trying to, on a daily basis and based on these little different events, one speech, one truth social post, one X post, they're trying to have a referendum on the entire plan based on these individual events. And I like I said last night, you're tasting the food before it's come out of the oven. It's not done yet. And one other thing you brought up that just, I posted this morning, which I think, you know, again, I tell people all the time, yeah, I'm a nerd, I guess, when it comes to numbers, but numbers matter, right? Like, look at this just posted. The latest Rasmussen Reports National Telephone and Online Survey finds that 52% of likely U.S. voters believe it's likely that the intelligence agencies are seeking to control the outcome of the 2024 election, including 31% who consider it very likely. Think about that, guys.
That was a conspiracy theory right after the last election. Remember
it
that?
Was like 15%. Maybe
that's just another example.
And if you understand math and statistics and the basics of it in a population as large as the United States, do you realize how hard it is to shift from like 15, 20% to 52% in just a little over 3 years? And people want to say the plan isn't working. There's absolutely no possible humanly way for this to happen without the plan. And this is what, whether, and I, guys, I know how hard it is. We talk about this all the time. I know how hard it is when your husband, your wife, somebody in your house, your coworkers, we all get, every one of us gets it. But you have to hang your hat on this stuff until we get to the finish line, because this is the only real data you're going to get. And it's important to look at it from that and understand that things like that, that's the important thing. That's what Donald Trump and the military are focused on, is shifting enough of the public consciousness on the important matters so that we can have that justice phase, so that the people can accept justice. So yes, if he has to toe the line on the vaccine and toe the line on Israel in order to achieve numbers like that so that the military can finish their job, that's what he's going to do. And that's what Flynn's going to do, and that's what they're all going to do.
Well, and part of the thing that people also forget, the other 800-pound elephant in the room, is this is not just a United States initiative. This is a global initiative. And people are, you know, they want it to happen. It's got to happen. What's taking so long? Blah, blah, blah. Why isn't Trump doing this? This is a global initiative. Look, that's also part of the American mentality. It's all about us. And it's not. This movement's not all about us. This movement's not all about the United States. It's about humanity and uniting humanity, not just people here. Mm-hmm. And that's where people also have to get their understanding and get beyond a lot of this.
I agree, you know, and that, you know, that those numbers you were just talking about, Dave, I mean, look, if Trump, we all knew that that was the case back in 2021, when the election was stolen like that. We all knew that it was the intelligence agencies. Trump knew it. But how effective would it have been if Trump had gotten up there and just pounded his hands down on the podium and said, it's the intelligence agencies, they stole the election? What would have happened? We probably would be in a civil war right now.
Yep.
And look, and so instead of doing it that way, instead of kicking down the door the way everybody wants it to happen, and I'm one of those people, believe me, I've talked about this. I mean, the aftermath of the 2020 election, I mean, I had to lick my wounds for like a solid month before I could actually, and then I actually came out, I emerged out of it, and guess what? I started a podcast, and a lot of other people did too. You think that wasn't part of the plan? Of course it was. But they want to, you know, so people want the door to get kicked down even now. And I get that. We're all frustrated. We're all tired. It's because we're awake and we know what's going on. But the fact of the matter is that now, 3 years later, more than half of the country that can't agree on anything suddenly is agreeing that the agencies, the intelligence agencies are at the core of this sinister activity, stealing the elections. That's pretty remarkable. I mean, Trump is, that's the thing, folks. Trump is not playing checkers. He's playing chess. And people have to understand that. It's not just about one move. It's not just, oh my God, he said this. Oh, he said that. Oh, he did this. It's fifth dimensional chess. It's 5D chess. And you have to understand that Trump is a master, and he doesn't care about the, because he knows darn well that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what he said about the vaccine. It doesn't matter what he's going to say about Israel. It doesn't matter what he's going to say about any other topic. It's all optics. It's all a show. Trump, and it's not only just a show just for entertainment purposes. Again, this is continuity of government. We're in continuity of government. We're under military law right now. And Trump understands all of these things, and he knows that it's not about simply making statements and having people just latch on to those statements and try to decode everything that he's saying, and like you said, have it be a referendum on the planet. It's like, that, when did that happen? Like, all of a sudden, we're, the minute Trump or Flynn or anybody else comes out and makes a statement, all of a sudden it's like the entire Q operation hinges upon that one statement. No. Yeah. But again, you it's just like we were talking about the individuals before. And you can apply the same concept to, you know, Trump and the way that he's handling this war. You judge a tree by its fruit. You know, that's really what it all amounts to. You know, whether it's an individual who's seeking to just divide, or whether it's, you know, Trump doing what he's doing to ultimately get us to a different place, humanity to arrive at an organic level of elevated consciousness. That's really what this is all about. That is the end game. Now, we can't sit here and we can't definitively answer every single question. Why did he do this? Why did he do that? We don't have all the information. But as you pointed out, Dave, we have to hang our hat on the stuff that's just blatantly obvious, that's in our face, that you cannot deny. When you talk about 98% of people being done with getting the jab and basically thinking, you know, COVID was just a bunch of BS at this point, even though they may not want to admit it. A lot of these people, of course, they're the ones who lined up for the jab in the first place. And it's a lot harder. Just like Mark Twain said, it's a lot harder to convince somebody that they've been conned than it is to con somebody. And yet, still in all, within in a relatively short period of time, yes, it took people dying. Unfortunately, it took a lot of these things, but we're at war, and there simply was no way out. There was no path that was not going to involve casualties. But there was a path that allowed people, that bought people time, that gave them the opportunity to use their free will to educate themselves, to get the truth. I mean, and that's the other thing. You want to talk about Trump's statements. No matter what he said about the vaccine, the truth community wasn't going to listen, right? No matter what he said, I mean, Mark pointed out the fact that he wasn't talking about the actual mRNA, but even if you thought he was, nobody would listen to Trump and say, you know what? I was kind of on the fence about the vaccine, but now, you know, I think I'm going to go get it now because Trump said so. No, that just didn't happen. And I suspect that Trump knew that that wasn't going to happen. So
I agree with you. I agree with you completely. And
I just got to turn off my camera for 1 second, but I'm still.
Yeah, no problem. And, you know, it's. Again, it all comes down to optics, right? And I think one of the things that I encourage people to always look at is the concept of game theory. You know, that's how all of this works, right? If you hear people throw these things around, the game of chess, moves and counter moves, right? What is the basis of game theory? It's really understanding when you're going to say something, do something, implement a plan. It's anticipating how the other side or the audience is going to react, right? And that's what we mean. Like, when you go up there, it's actually something they teach in sales. The people that actually understand sales understand game theory, meaning you can't just sit there and say, you know, you can't sell a car to a 75-year-old lady the same way you would to a 25-year-old kid. And the people that fail in sales don't understand that. You have to adjust your delivery, what you say, how you joke, maybe what you wear, right? That's what it is. It's appealing to the audience. And that's what so much of this is. And I think people, you know, that's why I always speak about that, because just do a Google on game theory. Just look at the basics of it. That's what a lot of this is. It's trying to figure out how to get the necessary reaction out of the public so we can get, like you said, Patriot, to the finish line, right? Because that's what it's the goal. The goal is what's important, not the methodology. And the methodology, we know they're doing it in the best possible, safest way, you know, there is. But yeah, if your house is on fire and you only have, you know, one hatch, one exit, and one door, and they're all blocked by fire, you pick the one that's going to burn you the least. That's the only way out. Otherwise, you stay in the house and you die. Yeah, and, you know, absolutely. I guess that's probably a good segue into another hot button topic that is, again, connects to what you're talking about with optics, which is the border. And obviously that's become, you know, that's another one. I don't have the graphic in front of me, but I spoke about it last night. I've rattled this off probably two shows in a row now, and I think it's worth touching on a third time. We talk about numbers and how we gauge the plan, right? That new study just came out of, I forget which university last week, but doesn't matter. I've put it up a million times, that now 8 out of 10 Americans polled say that the border is a serious problem, when in 2019, it was only about 40%. And yep, for the first time in history, 53% of Americans support the wall, which was less than 20% when Trump came in. And we're going to say the plan isn't working, but let's dive into what had to be done. Why is it, you know, the people that have spewed venom at anyone like any of us who have come out and said that what you're seeing at the border is optics, or some of what you're seeing in these cities is optics. And then they come out, how dare you say that? That's horrible. People are dying. People are having their job. But we're not looking at those statistics, that in order to keep society from tearing itself apart through propaganda, like we were over the border and over the wall. Meanwhile, most of what you're experiencing and seeing right now in the news is not reflective of what's really happening now. It's an instant replay of what they did during the Obama administration, folks. That's when the 14 million people came in. That's when the border was wide open. But guess what? There was no one with the people like Andrew Breitbart and all them that tried to tell us back then. They all got murdered. That's where we were. So how do you take a country in 2016 that has already had these illegals flood in, and they don't know it? They don't know the house of cards is collapsing underneath. They don't know the foundation of their house is about to collapse. How do you make them aware? Right? You bring a contractor in your house and you sit in your room and he says, you need a new foundation. Are you not going to go out and look at it? You have to see that your foundation's collapsing. And that's what they've done with the optics that we're living through right now, is how do we get those? Like I say this all the time, the military knew when they concocted this plan that they had enough intelligence, technology, and firepower to take out all the bad players in probably a matter of a year, maybe two. That wasn't the challenge. The challenge is, how do we piece society back together? How do we unveil all this stuff to society to let them accept all these people that we've taken out? Otherwise, it looks like a military coup. Otherwise, it looks like Argentina or Venezuela. How do we do it? And that's where the optics of the border, and especially in these blue cities and blue states, like here where we are in New York, which is at the epicenter of it, even in New York, we have 80% of people are done with it. 80% of people say they got to do something about the border in New York City. In New York City, where I was fighting people tooth and nail in 2016, getting my head chewed off because, we're a sanctuary city. Look, we have the Statue of Liberty over there. Look at the chains. And to have that shift so quickly is, again, further proof that it's working. But how do you do it without actually opening the border? How do you do it without actually having massive tribes of or groups of illegals literally overrunning cities? You use optics, you use narrative control. You show a group of 100 people in front of a hotel and you say there's another 10,000 inside. That's fifth generation warfare. And I know a lot of people, it's a controversial thing, even within our community, there's people that still aren't quite on board with this. But if you really dive into it and look through the numbers, and like you said, with the vax, we could do a whole show on this. I don't want to dive too far, but guys, the proof is there. Logic will tell you, when you have a space this wide, that's wide open, like the border in 2018, and only, 200,000 people came through, or 300,000. And now you put a wall across it with one little gate. You're telling me 13 million people came through this space when only 800,000 came through here? And you look at what's going on, and you look at the ankle monitors on people getting off the buses and the fresh sneakers, like Mark's always points out. And the National Guard guarding all the hotels in New York where they're staying. There's endless evidence to support the fact. You know, guys, 13 million people. I say this all the time. Think about a place like Laredo or one of these border towns. 13 million people. You ever see a football stadium? Turn on an NFL game. That's only 80,000 people in one of those giant. Do you notice how you're talking about 20 of those stadiums? Where are the towns that are completely overrun? Where are it? It doesn't add up. And I, you know, again, without diving into all the evidence, we could do a whole show on that. But this is another incredibly important moment in this operation and moment for the history books on shifting public consciousness on this topic. They had to bring, especially in these blue cities, and I think what they did is brilliant. They had to bring, if you can't get these people to understand the border, we're going to bring the border to their front door.
Everybody is a hero.
Right there, right? The difference between the idea of being a sanctuary city and the reality of being flooded as a sanctuary city. And now all of a sudden, and it's the same thing. It's the same basic principle, right? You can't tell people. You have to show them. You have to make them live it. You have to make them go through it, because nothing that either Trump or any other person could have said would have been able to move the needle on public opinion that dramatically in a very, very short period of time. And, you know, I mean, it's like the basic concept here is like, you know, you were talking about, it's kind of like the real estate analogy, right? You know, like people don't want to be sold. They want to decide to buy.
That's right.
You know, and that's really what it is. Like that's the organic nature of awakening, right? People have to come to it on their own terms. Sure, the white hats are in the background and they're doing everything to engineer to push people in the right direction. And certainly we're playing our role as well. But at the end of the day, you can't just tell people things because they're not going to listen. They're not going to believe it. There's too much divide that already occurred. And, you know, as far as the border goes, I mean, a big part of this, let's not forget, is it's kind of it's causing Americans to rediscover our roots and our value system, mm-hmm. right? And it's bringing attention to states' rights. And, you know, the whole situation with Texas, I mean, is it part of the pantomime? Yes, of course, I believe it is. But nevertheless, it's serving a very important purpose, which is it's reconnecting us with our roots, which is basic common sense, that people have been so gaslit by the mainstream media, by the Mockingbird media for such a long time. And this goes back to, you know, the Nazi roots. You know, we could go into a whole history here of the MK Ultra programming, the Project Paperclip, all this technology that they brought over here to brainwash people. And guess what? It's effective. And it's been very, very effective. And, you know, they gradually have turned up the volume on it over the past couple of decades, where it's like at first, you know, they want to appeal to your sense of decency, and then it's more, and then it's, you know, they keep ratcheting it up until the point where it gets to such a mob mentality, like we were talking about before, you know, this idea that people just want to feel like they're on the winning team. People just want to feel like whatever the majority voice is, whatever the, you know, without actually doing their own research, without actually exercising common sense and so forth. So the White Hats knew all of this. And the only way to effectively combat that is to put people through what they think that they want, what they think that they voted, the policies that they voted for, right? The individuals that they wanted to bring into power. Okay, that's what you want. You're going to have to live with the consequences of it. Now, at the same time, there are also military safeguards in place. I think we can all agree that if there weren't with this, I mean, if they wanted to engineer a civil war, if they wanted to engineer a global war, they could have done it very, very easily. And I go back to, you know, if they wanted a civil war in America, they could have very easily engineered that right around the election. And instead, what they've done, again, despite all the controversy, despite all of the anger and the rage that we feel knowing the truth and having to basically live in this, you know, this quasi, like I always say to my audience, like we have a foot in two different worlds. We know what the truth is, but yet we're saddled with, you know, this third dimensional reality and, you know, all these people around us who are still coming up to speed. So naturally we're going to be angry. We're going to be frustrated. We're going to be pissed. And that's exactly what's happened within the community. But the White Hats also understood that was a necessary evil. In order for them to be able to move the consciousness of the masses, they had to trust the patriot community enough and our discernment enough, and our connection to God and our connection to each other and our desire to want to fight this war for the right reasons. I believe that they trusted us. Just like Trump said in his inaugural speech, all of you are going to be warriors for the truth. All of you are going to be warriors for your families, for your communities. That was a call to arms in this information war. Yep. And Trump knew that, again, he knew that no matter what he said about the vaccine, they knew exactly how this was all going to play out. I mean, I'm not saying there haven't been variables and there haven't been certain elements of the situation that have been fluid. I'm not suggesting that. But overall, they basically knew the playbook and how this was going to go down, and that we weren't going to be happy, and that we were going to have to go through everything that we've been through along the way. But they also knew, and I think, you know, to take it to a whole different level and into the spiritual level, God knew.
Yep.
God knows our hearts. He knows his people. He knows that, you know, we may have bad days. I've certainly had plenty along the way. And we've been through plenty of valleys. I mean, I'm just connecting with you guys, but you know, all of us, whether we've actually been connected or not, we've walked the same path. We've walked the same journey. So they knew this. And I think that this is something that, again, some people may not want to hear it because they're only focused on their immediate, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, their immediate circumstances, their suffering. And even pointing to some of the suffering of others. And I'm not suggesting that that's not legitimate, but what I am saying is that there's a far bigger picture here. And Mark pointed out, this is a global war. This isn't just about the United States. And we could even go farther than that. I won't take it into, you know, other areas, but I mean, it's as big as you can possibly imagine and then some. And so, you know, we have to constantly remember that we have to look at the situation, I think, through that lens, in order to really understand, to be able to, let's put it this way, we're not going to be able to understand everything, but to be able to triangulate the truth, which I think is kind of it's a good way of putting it. You know, nobody can quite pinpoint anything exactly, but we can get in the zone. And you do that really well on your show. You guys do a brilliant job with that, you know, pointing out like, look, you're gonna say this is a coincidence like you did the other night talking about the State of the Union. Seven different coincidences. I mean, come on. You know, and it's like, I think that the White Hats knew that this was going to, the point I'm making, and I'll just leave it at this, is that they knew this was going to be a grueling process for all of us. But think about it. What has it done? As all of the pain that we've been through, you can't for one second, if you're intellectually honest, say that this plan isn't working. And you certainly can't say that it didn't activate all of these horrific circumstances that we've had to live through. And this upside down inversion of reality, this hell that we've had to go through, this pantomime, it activated American patriots. It activated patriots all over the world. You know, we talk about America, but look what's happening in Germany and in Poland and all of these places. I mean, the farmers, everywhere you look, all over the world, people are rising up in mass.
Well, what you started to bring up before in regard to the sanctuary cities, you know, when it's in your face. And this is a lot of things people don't understand. It's, you know, especially, you know, Dave and I being from New York, and you're in your area too.
General area of the country. I'm in the Northeast, so yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm very familiar with New York. I went to college at NYU actually.
But you know what happened, Martha's Vineyard, okay? The kickback there when they wanted to put the people, the refugees there. And then, you know, New York, oh, we're a big sanctuary state and we're going to put them in the city and this and that and the other. And people, they'll all rant and rave and scream about it. We have to be good. You know, this country is built on immigrants until it's in their face, until it's coming out of their pockets, until the danger is in their face, presented right to their family. That's when they finally see it.
That's right.
Because they stand so solidly behind these freedoms until their freedom is impinged upon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the parallels are everywhere, right? And that's why, you know, again, I know for some people at Patriot, like you said, for some people it becomes repetitive and they get focused on their own issues. And I understand all that.
And we all do, by the way. I'm not lecturing people. No, I mean, you know, I'm speaking from my own experience. I mean, I do the same exact thing. You know, that's the whole thing. We're all human here. You know, I'm not lecturing anybody. I'm just saying, you know, that there's two different sides to how we got to look at it.
Yep. And like to Mark's point and your point, the parallels when you and I know it becomes cliche, the 40,000 foot view, people are getting sick of that one too. I get it, but it's still appropriate, right? When you actually step back and you look at the patterns, they all follow what Q says about you have to show the people. You know, everything we talked about with the border, like what Mark just said, let's take a look at the media. How is it that we, you know, Operation Mockingbird, you study that, it started somewhere in the 40s, the late 40s, early 50s. How is it that they got by with that for 70 years? But now all of a sudden, you know, you ever, I turn on Fox News now and again just because you get a kick at it. And I try to point out to people, I go, guys, take a look at Fox News. They've spent, in the last 3 years, they basically converted from a news agency to an Operation Mockingbird education agency. All they do the whole time is show you how everyone's lying. Right? How is that happening? Right? That's the dark, the light. That's it. You cannot tell them. You have to show them. The schools. Do people that understand, you know, remember it started with the masking, then it moved to CRT. Now it's the transgender. But no matter what, look at the activation of the parents since 2020. Yet, if you really understand the issues, CRT was started by the New York Times in, like, I don't know, when was that book written? 2012, 2013. You know, the meaning it people, did, but all of a sudden it became an issue in 2020. Transgender, they've been working on that for a solid decade or more. Yet, how did it happen? You couldn't tell the people, you had to show them. So you had millions of kids that were locked down that were taking classes from home, and the parents were all sitting there doing what they could and watching them on Zoom and going, whoa, 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 what are you teaching my kids now? Yet, if you tried to go and tell your friends about this stuff who are parents, very often they're very too busy or too caught up in you watch CNN and they watch Fox, so I'm not going to listen to what they say. But the second the people saw it with their own eyes, and that's the parallel that holds true to all these different things, the pharmaceutical industry, the vaccine agenda, the military industrial complex, the way they manipulate our primaries with the different rhinos, like all of that. And when you stop and look at it and say, how is it that all this stuff that was cloaked in darkness is all now bathed in light over the last 3 years? That's the plan. And I agree with you, Patriot, and the way you said it, that I personally disagree when people say that, like, oh, they had no idea how long it was going to take. I actually don't think that's the case. Sure, have there probably been delays and hiccups along the way? Common sense would tell you that's the case when you think of the complexity of redoing financial systems and everything. But I personally don't think that the plan is that far off from where they intended it, because when you really look at the complexity of it, and then you look at the way the numbers have shifted, it to me it says that they knew it was going to take this long. And then again, they had to put in. We talk about this all the time, that it's in the title, psychological warfare. They understood the psychology of how this time period was going to affect us. And that's why people may come in and complain and say we're sick of the 17s and the 34s and everything else. But just think about it, right? Like, I think about myself the other night. I wasn't going to watch the State of the Union. I was like, I'll watch it for a minute. You know, it's a dog and pony show. I'll catch up on the clips later. And yet I turn it on and we immediately see that him getting announced exactly 9:17. And for me, it changes my whole mood, even though I already know it's a show. Now let's think about the foresight that all these guys had to put all these little clues in there and then to teach all of us lunatics how to see it and help other people see it. And because somebody sat down and said, listen, these people are going to lose their minds. What do we do to help them get through this? We're going to keep putting these clues in there to let them know we're still here, to let them know it's still happening. And I think that's incredible
It's
and brilliant.
brilliant.
As hard as it is, just imagine if none of that was there. Imagine if we couldn't see the masks. Imagine if we didn't have the 17s. Imagine if we didn't have, what do you think? The white hats couldn't put the Biden's fake honor guards in a real military uniform, so Derek Johnson can't keep pointing it out? Of course they could. They do it so we're reminded. And, you know, a lot of people, like I said, going back to the people surrounding them, get frustrated. They go, well, my neighbors don't see that. They don't see this. No, they're not supposed to see the seven teams. They're supposed to see the show. They're supposed to get pissed off. Don't try to show them the seven teams. Don't try to show them any of that. At this point, let it be. But be encouraged that they keep doing this for us, because that's the best way. They can't talk to you about it. Trump can't talk about it. Flynn can't talk about it. They can't say we know what you're going through, because they can't acknowledge it. That's their way of acknowledging it, that they've thought of everything, including all of us who are sitting here struggling through this.
I don't think we would have made it this far, and not even remotely. This whole thing would have fallen apart a long time ago if we didn't have proofs, if we couldn't see the masks, if we didn't have the deltas, if we didn't have the drops, if we didn't have the 17s, whatever it is that you know, we could go on and on. That's exactly what sustained us this entire time. That's exactly what I think has also has stayed the hand, let's just say, of the Patriot community, and not prompted people to become violent. And I think the White Hats knew on multiple different levels that our community was going to be central to this plan. This is a military civilian alliance. So they needed the drops to activate all the Anons out there and the truthers. But they also needed the drops, which have all been, you know, calculated with AI and using supercomputers. And that's, again, a whole separate conversation I won't dive into. But they also knew that was necessary to sustain this movement. And even to this day, I mean, you know, we see examples of it all the time. The resident coming in, a fake Biden coming in at, you know, exactly when the clock was switching to 17, Putin taking off his wrist at exactly 17 seconds into the interview with Tucker. You know, there's just so many. I mean, you know, we can go on and on and on. But, you know, to me, I quite honestly, I think for me, drop, and I just had to go look it up just to make sure I got the number correctly, but drop 4407 is the most important one, and one of the most important ones for me, which is it's important to understand that only at the precipice, moment of destruction, will people find the will to change. I think that that's the one that I go back to over and over and over and over again. Not to point to, you know, necessarily to try to speculate about a scare event or a moment, you know, whatever that's going to be. Something, I mean, I'm of the viewpoint that there's going to be some sort of a major scare event. You told us a scare necessary event. But to me, that drop right there says it all, because you can't show people. You got to tell them. And the only. Look, the reality of the matter is that the only way to get people to find the will to change, that's really what it's all about. People have to find the will to change. You can't persuade them. They have to find that will inside of themselves. And how do you get there? Well, you have to live through this shit show that we've all been living through. You have to bring people through this, you know, up to the precipice of destruction, whatever that means. You know, I don't really know exactly what that means, but it sure looks to me like everything, you know, optically, all the wheels are falling off. We're getting pretty close to that precipice of destruction. Some people would argue we've been there for a long time. Hey, listen, I won't argue that point. You know, I'm not going to argue, you know, when exactly the precipice moment is. I mean, I think quite honestly, it varies for different people.
Yes.
You know, some people it's not going to be until perhaps they see that they can't access their money. You know, some people it could be some sort of a big military standoff, a nuclear scare. I mean, who knows what it's actually going to be. But the point is that we don't all wake up at the same time in the same way. But each of us had to reach our own precipice of destruction before we were ready to take that next step. Yep. I wasn't ready to do a podcast and share my voice and my thoughts and my viewpoints with the world until I felt like I had no other choice. Like, I was isolated myself. I didn't have anywhere to go. I was failing miserably at trying to red pill anybody around me. Which is amazing to me now, because I get stories all the time of people saying, hey, you red pilled my father, you red pilled my mother. I'm like, well, that's great. I wish I had that same power in my family. But I've also acknowledged, too, had I been effective at doing that, I probably wouldn't have started a podcast. God has a purpose for everything. And that's, you know, so each of us had to reach our own precipice, our own moment where we had finally just had enough and we activated. And I think that, you know, we were the chosen. I think we also chose. I think there's an element of free will that goes into this. I think that it was an agreement. We decided we wanted to be here. And certainly we made that decision at the right time, at exactly the right time. And here we are. And so, you know, so then and then it all trickles down from there. You've got the rest of the population. This is essentially what we've been talking about tonight or today, that people are, you know, gradually they're awakening. So we can sit here and we can poke holes and we can criticize and we can all day long. But you judge a tree by its fruit. And as far as I'm concerned, the Q operation has yielded some pretty amazing fruit, like we've talked about tonight. And this is nothing compared to, I think, what's going to transpire in very recent weeks and months, in my view. I think we're personally, I've also said this to my audience, you know, the flip side of the coin is that, you know, it can't go on forever. There is going to be a certain point where I think, you know, the white hats are going to have to, and they know this too. It's not like I'm lecturing them and telling them anything they don't know. So far you can push people. And they know that too. And at a certain point, that's why I think this year is so, you know, it's really the crossroads. It's the year of, you know, you want to talk about a referendum on Q. I mean, 2024 is the year where it's all going to go down, or it's not, and we're going to have to go in a different direction. But I don't think that's going to happen. And certainly, I don't think you folks do either, but one way or another, we're not giving up on this fight. But at a certain point in time, you know, people can only be pushed too far. And that, I think, is the precipice. You know, there's lots of different ways you can define that. It's personal, it's collective. But I don't think we're going to get pushed over that precipice, because, again, if that were the end game, what happens if we get pushed over the precipice and we actually go into destruction? Well, they could have done that a lot more efficiently if that was the end game and there really weren't any good guys behind the scenes. And like I've said many times, and I broke this down recently, I mean, if you're the cabal, for those people out there who want to question whether Q is a deep state psyop, if you're the cabal, why would you start a grassroots movement of people who now consider themselves enemies of you? Why would you create an army to oppose you? Why would you educate your slaves? Why would you introduce people to the most horrific realities to show them things that they could never unsee if they had the courage to look at it? If you're the enemy, you wouldn't do that. It makes no sense. And I've also said too, you know, for folks who want to say, well, you know, it's all to just get patriots to be complacent. Excuse me? You think we're being complacent? Why? Because we're not out there with our guns in the streets shooting people? Come on now. I mean, that's a absolute last resort. But the fact of the matter is the patriot community is anything but complacent. And after this whole Q movement, you really think that our will to fight is just simply going to go away if things don't go the way we want them to? That's why Q says none of those arguments make sense.
And that's why Q says nothing can stop what is coming. Because you can't. Too many people know, and I think that's such an important point you made about. I can't stand that people are complacent. You're kidding me. I see people like yourself who, you know, work a regular job. Yeah, I know you have a family and everything, and yet you spend all this time, you know, not only doing podcasts, but we all know behind the scenes how much time it takes to put it all together. And then you amplify that times thousands of people. And like I tell people as well, all the people that are here in these communities, when we do these streams, thousands of people that are here participating and exchanging information and teaching each other and helping each other out, which is what the design of all this was. We're going to say that that's not doing anything. I mean, they're comparing it to Operation Trust, you know, back in the Bolshevik days. And if that's what they were designing, it's the worst. It was the worst black hat counter psyop ever, because it emboldened everybody. And
absolutely,
you know, it's you know, and the last thing I want to touch on that I think you brought up a good point about the Patriots taking action. I think another little, and I'd love to hear your take on this, but another way to kind of look under the hood, Mark and I have spoken about this a lot, is knowing how many guns there are in this country and knowing that 90% of the people who are awakened and quote unquote activated are the ones that own the guns and the ones that would step up and do something if there was a problem. And then also knowing what a fringe operation Q really is to the relative size of the population. The fact that there hasn't been any kinetic uprisings, the fact that no militia has gone off the rails and even attacked a convoy, let alone a state house or something crazy like that. And we don't encourage that, obviously. After everything that's gone on, no matter how much they keep turning up the heat, that the Patriots are the ones keeping it all together and keeping it above board. guys, that should tell you that they've thought of everything. And I can promise you, in my opinion, that that doesn't happen without direct military intervention. On the ground, people who are speaking with these different groups, who are watching, who potentially, if there's a group of people out somewhere that are about to do something unnecessary or stupid because they don't realize there's a military operation, how do you stop that? You have to have people going in. And I think that's when Q even talks about uprisings. I think they meant on both sides. That if there are, you know, if there are people that are about to take matters in their own hands because perhaps they don't follow or believe in what we do and they think there's no hope, you got to prevent that as well until the time is right. So I think logically, you know, we always focus on the dark stuff and the bad side and this is fake. But also remember on our side, guys, like I think sometimes people get frustrated that like we haven't had more uprisings and out in the streets and everything. But guys, that's not what they want. If they wanted that, Donald Trump could send one truth and we'd all be out in the streets. And this thing, I'm taking this from Captain Kyle. He says it all the time. He's like, if Donald Trump did a call to arms, you know, we'd be having beers by 4 o'clock. It'd be over. It wouldn't even take a day. But the fact that they haven't, and the fact that no one has gone out on their own, just shows you that it's not only been designed this way, but that I think the military is actively watching everything. And if people are about to do something, they have a way of stepping in and saying, hold on for now. Hang on. Put the guns away. You know, go to the bar, have a beer. Right, We got this.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you said and what you said Captain Kyle had said as well. I mean, that's absolutely true. We all recognize that Trump is our president. He's our commander in chief. And we're, quite frankly, we're an army. We're the largest standing army in the world. We're very well armed and we don't want to go in that direction. But the reality of the matter is that we reserve the right to do that if it becomes necessary. It's written into our DNA. It's also, you know, basically written into all the documents of our founding fathers that, you know, it's not only our right, but it's our duty to replace a tyrannical government. But the fact of the matter is that we're doing that in a different way. And Trump, sure. I mean, on January 6th, when he made that speech, he could have just said, go in there and take over the government. You think people would have hesitated for 1 second if that's what they wanted? And sure, that would have started a civil war. That would have done it real nice. And so it's like, you know, that's the other thing. Be careful what you wish for. You know, people think that, you know, like I kind of use the analogy of just, you know, kicking down the door. It doesn't always go well when you just kick in the door and you go on, you know, you go in there guns blazing. Sure, it feels like when you're frustrated, when you're angry, and you know that you're right, you know that you're ultimately that your cause is just. It's easy to think that way, to just kick down the door and get it all done in one fell swoop. But you know, that's not the way things play out in reality. This is a very big country with a lot of people, and it's a very big world with a lot of people that they had spent, like I said before, they had spent decades and decades and decades engineering our society, socially engineering our societies to be tribal and divisive and balkanized and everything else, so that they could create the conditions for what they wanted, which was a civil war. Q told us we're not going to have a civil war. And, you know, we talked about taking the bait earlier. You made a great point about that. I mean, patriots aren't taking the bait, right? Other countries around the world that aren't in the immediate control of the cabal are not taking the bait when it comes to this, you know, this global conflagration of tensions that we're seeing. There's been a million different opportunities where Russia could have escalated this war massively and it would have turned into a new, you know, who knows, certainly a world war, but potentially a nuclear type of a situation. They haven't done that. And so, yes, there are battles. There are things going on that are kinetic. But when you look at the big picture, again, we haven't fallen into civil war. We haven't fallen into world war. And we're living through the most crazy, unprecedented times that you can imagine. I mean, heck, nations have gone to war for a lot less and fought wars for a lot less. And here we are, and we're doing it peacefully. So, yes, we're exercising that right and that duty, but we're doing it in a way because the white hat's new. I mean, we're at a point. I mean, you make a good let's just face it. America, an American civil war, an all-out civil war, we wouldn't come back from that. I'm not saying, I mean, the Patriots would, ultimately, I do believe we'd be victorious. I'm not suggesting that we wouldn't be, but we're talking about decades and decades and decades of rebuilding after that. And I'm not just talking about infrastructurally. I'm just talking about the entire fabric of our country in every way would be torn and ripped apart. That's not what we want. That's not what, and on a global scale too. I mean, you know, talking about, I was talking to Dave the other day about, you know, Nasara, you know, the countries had to agree that they were done with war. And if they start war, you know, if they want to go in that direction, then, you know, they're not going to be a part of this whole Nasara thing. And I think that that's really what we're seeing play out on a global scale is that, yes, that it's a show, it's a movie. Yeah, there are aspects of it that are kinetic. Yes, real people are dying. Nobody would sit here and say that it's 100% a movie and nothing is real. I think correct. I don't hear anybody actually making that argument. That's crazy. You run out of real estate real fast when you try to make that argument. But the reality of the matter is that we've held it together, the white hats and the world, as chaotic as things are and as close as it appears, as we're getting to that precipice moment. And I'm not suggesting that we couldn't go over that precipice moment if there wasn't military intervention, if there's not justice at a certain point. It all goes back to consciousness. If a critical mass of people believe that there's going to be justice, that the military is going to step in, then we're going to wait. We're going to hold off. But by the same token, the reverse is also true. You know, if people lose hope, if the White Hats waited too long, it could go very easily in that opposite direction. And again, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to get right up to that point. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse optically. And then we're going to have whatever we're going to have, whatever is going to prompt the EBS. I mean, we could speculate on that all day long. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it's pretty obvious that despite all of the criticisms, and they're legitimate, by the way, I'm not suggesting that people criticizing and questioning the plan is not legitimate. So please don't misunderstand that. I'm not telling folks that they should stop being critical. But what I am saying is that just let's just make sure that we're looking at things from multiple different angles and understanding all of the different lenses that we have to look through in order to really really grasp what's going on here.
Also, understand that one of the things that we're fighting, and it if you just look at this discussion that the three of us are having, and you look at a decent amount of the truth movement itself, we've been fighting not just the war that we know about and the cabal and the black hats, but we're sitting and we're also fighting an agenda and a perception that's been exacerbated by the mainstream media. As Hillary put it back in 2016, you know, we're America's unwashed. We're the basket of deplorables. Okay. And if you sit and you listen to what we say, and you sit and listen to the manner in which we say it, and the manner in which we relate to one another, which is the other important part about the unity factor. Maybe, just maybe, the normies should take a little lesson from this. And instead of, I always go back to her because I remember it like it was yesterday, and I love it every time it's in a video. Our little girlfriend on her knees with the glasses there screaming her head off because Hillary lost. Take a little lesson from what you see here. Take a little lesson in civility, in respect and decency, in the ability to have a discussion, disagree on certain points, and yet still go on and be friendly, be friends, be family, without being deplorable. And that's the other part of the battle that we're fighting. And that's why this unity thing is so important, because we've got to get beyond that and not just prove to ourselves that this can be done and it can be sustained, but to prove to these other people, you've greatly underestimated us.
Well said.
Absolutely. Well said. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that as time goes on, I mean, it's just like you had I think it was about a month ago or something, I saw Aaron Rodgers get on TV and say that, you know, like someone calling him a conspiracy theorist. And he was like, that's a badge of honor. I mean, the conspiracy theorists, they've been right about everything. Yeah. So this is trickling into the mainstream, right? And like I said, though, but, you know, the problem is that when ego is attached, and that's a big part of what we're contending with here, is, and we all have an ego. Okay. It's part of human nature. Everyone has one. Okay. But the question is, are you going to be slave to your ego, or are you going to transcend it? Are you going to allow the cabal mentality that you've been programmed with your entire life? The first thing you have to do is you have to recognize it. You have to admit it, that your mentality, your focus. And again, I'm not lecturing folks. This is something that I've been through and I continue to contend with on a daily basis. But we've been indoctrinated and ingrained with their mentality, their thinking, their world, their infrastructure, their economic system, right? Their information system, their media, everything. We've been throttled with that forever. So it's natural that we're going to go through a process and have been going through a process, and it's a messy one, of shedding that old mentality, transcending that old mentality. Just like I said before earlier, it's not like you can just flip a switch. Nothing that anybody can say is just going to magically do that. It's a process. And that's the thing that a lot of folks don't understand. Yes, we want justice. Yes, we want truth. Yes, we want answers. But at the end of the day, this is about humanity. This is about human ascension. This is about the great awakening. This is changing the fundamental fabric of the world. This is biblical in nature. And so that's, I think, what we really need to focus on, and not get too distracted. It's so easy to get distracted. And as a podcaster, and you guys, I'm sure, know this as well, you know, staying on top of all the news and all the latest developments, I think sometimes for us, it can be even more difficult because, you know, we share that sense of responsibility for our audience to stay on top of things, to provide analysis, to provide clarity. And so sometimes, ironically, it's easier for us to get sucked into all the distractions and all that stuff than it is even for your average listener out there. But this really is about transcending their mentality and finding the will to change. Because people don't want to admit, the ego doesn't want to admit that it's wrong, that it was conned, like I said. Real easy to buy into a lie, but it's not that easy to admit that you were conned, to admit that you fell for something, to admit that you were wrong about something. That's the other thing that they've engineered our society to admit that you're wrong about something, or to admit that maybe you had maybe your perspective has changed, like somehow that's a weakness. No, it's not. That's one of the most profound signs of strength that I can imagine, when a person has the strength of character to admit that they were wrong, or to admit that they don't know something, to have some humility. And it's like Mark says, the respect aspect. I think the respect and the humility go hand in hand. You know, you can't, if you're ego driven and you're just looking to, you know, yeah, you're going to fall into that pick a lane crap, you know, and guilt by association and all that nonsense if you're driven by ego. But that's not what this is all about. This is about transcending that. It's always going to be a part of us, but it's about transcending that mentality that they've saddled us with. And people, I think, recognizing it, that's the importance of this conversation, is a lot of folks out there, sure, they recognize that certain people are trolls. They recognize certain things, but they may not understand or grasp the big picture. And that's really what it's all about. It's a messy process. It's something that all of us have had to go through. And people are at different phases of it. That's the other thing. I mean, you know, we also have to remember, I mean, right now there's a lot of infighting in our community, but pretty soon we're not going to really be focused on our community anymore. We're going to be focused on our local community. We're going to be focused right on, you know, and I think that that's where the real responsibility comes in. I think that's been, in so many ways, our training ground over these past few years, is to, because we're ahead of the curve, but not without reason. Because there are going to be people who are going to desperately need guidance. And that's the purpose. That's why we're here. We're not here to point fingers. We're not here to be, you know, right about everything. And you know, I mean, for me, it's great to see my show grow. It's great to see, you know, subscribers and all of those things. Wonderful. But that's not why I started. And that's not what continues to propel me on. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with fame, or it has nothing to do with any of that stuff. I started this because I believe in humanity. I believed in this plan. And I intuitively felt, as you gentlemen did as well, that I felt a responsibility, even as a person who doesn't have any answers or intel or special information. I felt a responsibility just as a father, as an American, as a person who actually cares about my country, to stand up and do something. And I think that had all of these things not occurred exactly the way that they did in the time frame that they did, I wouldn't be talking to you guys, you know, and so many of us we never would have emerged. And now look what's happening. It's amazing to watch that our community continues to expand. And again, that's why all these attacks are coming. They're scared. They're trying to do everything that they can. But nothing can stop it.
Well, you just clicked on what to me is a key phrase. It's about us, not about me, not about you or Dave or this one or that one or the. It's about us. It's about a community, a global community.
Absolutely.
And that's the part that people have to. You want to tattoo something? Tattoo that right here.
Yeah. I think, you know, and the other thing, Mark, is I think that that's what most people really want deep down, you know, but the fact is that, you know, that's why conversations like this are so important, because people, they need to hear this, you know, these are the types of conversations. They're getting plenty of that other crap. They're getting plenty of that other noise, yep. But they're not getting enough of this. And then, and at the end of the day, people have to choose. It's free will. You know, if you want to be a part of the divisiveness, if you want to be a part of the infighting, if you want to be the one pointing fingers, you know, you want to, whatever, you know, they always cloak themselves in righteousness, right? The ones who are doing this stuff, they always, you know, it's like they never come to you and tell you that they have nefarious intentions. But, you know, you can either be a part of that, or you can be a part of what we're talking about today. And if there's any kind of lane that I'm going to choose, that's the lane that I'm going to choose. It's not going to be the lane that you're telling me. It's not going to be based upon what you're defining as my choices. I know what my choices are. And that's the thing, is that programs like this one are going to show people that there is a choice. And most people, again, go back to the numbers, look at the likes, the dislikes. I mean, look, it's provable. Most people are on our side. We're the majority, even within our movement. And when we talk about humanity as a whole, yeah, it's a messy process. There's going to be a lot of ugliness along the way. But at the end of the day, God's saving us because we're worth saving. And I believe that, you know, that's why we're here right now. That I believe in humanity. And don't get me wrong, I get frustrated as the next guy. And, you know, I have my moments as well. But that's the core. That's what this is really all about. We really are all in this together. And we can't lose sight of that, because that's exactly what the enemy wants. And so if you want to do something, if you want to fight back, like people are always asking, what can I do? What can I this, you know, or maybe not asking, but wondering to themselves, how about this? Don't fall into their trap. Don't play their game. Fight back against their mentality. Stand for something better. Be something better. Demand better of yourself. Be willing to admit when you were wrong about something. I mean, heck, I've done it publicly. If I can do it publicly, you can do it privately.
Exactly.
It's not that hard. But you have to be willing to let go of the mentality that and everything, all of those weights. That's really what it is. You have to put those weights down. And you have to recognize what this war is really all about. Not about who's right, who's wrong, what the event sequence is going to be and all of these things, or who's good or who's bad. Those are all details, you know, and I'm not suggesting that they're not important, but at the end of the day, I think we can all agree that that's not what the real end game is. The real objective is the unity of humanity and pioneering an entirely new future for our progeny for thousands of years. That's what motivates me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I think that's a great place to kind of wrap this up. So well said, and I really, really enjoyed this conversation. I agree with you, Patriot. I think when you, that's something we touched on at the top about the idea of getting people together and people, the way people like to listen to other people, roundtables and discussions like this, because we don't get this kind of discourse and discussion out in the public. And I think that you're right, what you said before about us morphing from this being, you know, truther Q community focused to being the community at large, because what people are realizing, and you have the numbers to back it up, that the way the mainstream media is just cratering. I mean, record numbers. Any business that loses 20% of viewers in a year. Again, guys, that's a whole nother conversation, but you got the stats to back that up. You know, again, that's another place where you can prove that the plan is working when you see the numbers in which the mainstream media, and obviously they have to get their information from somewhere. That's why these platforms are growing and those are shrinking. And I think it's happening because not just because it's such a compelling story, which it is, but what people are realizing, and I know I realized it through my awakening process, is like, oh my God, for the last 10 or 15 years, I haven't had substantial conversations with most of the people around me because they've beaten us into submission. Where we, you know, I think back to my parents and my grandparents over Thanksgiving, maybe in like the 80s, and they would sit and talk about world events. And we don't do that. We haven't done that for like 10, 15 years because they've made everything political.
Well, that happened really when they started weaponizing the mainstream media. I mean, it was always lies.
Yeah.
Mark knows this, I'm sure, better than anyone being in the mainstream media. But it went from deception, I think, to a whole new level of weaponization of disinformation. And not only that, I think there was that added element of, I mean, you know, you go to any channel, you're not watching the news, you're watching, you know, one side attack another side. When's the last time you saw a civil debate on mainstream media? You know, or a substantive debate, let's just put it that way. They've engineered that as well, because again, they don't want to, because they know the big secret is that when well-intentioned good human beings come together, they find compromise, they find common ground. That's what they don't want. That's called unity. We're always going to be different, but that's what they don't want. See, they have to destroy not just the concept of freedom, but it's also the concept of unity itself. Attaching some sort of virtue to being constantly attacking any opinion that you don't agree with.
Yep.
That's the complete opposite of everything, really, as far as I'm concerned. It's the opposite of everything this country stands for.
Well, that's why what I've described to people is news has gone from quote-unquote journalism, as much journalistic integrity as there ever was, to editorialism.
Absolutely.
And editorialism is just giving your opinion. And your opinion as a journalist, unless you're delivering specifically an editorial, does not be long. Period. And that's where mainstream media is.
Yeah, but it trickles down, like Dave was saying. It trickles down to the dinner table. It trickles down to, you know, Thanksgiving dinner and all of these things. And we can't have conversations anymore because people they've been engineered. I keep using that word because it's really actually true. This is all scientific. It's not like this just happened magically. You know, I went back to the Nazis and the MK Ultra program, and I'm not going to trace the history.
Let's not forget this. And people can't converse.
That's right.
They even look at each other.
This is a multi-pronged attack on humanity to keep us. That's what COVID was all about. The social distancing, every aspect of what they do is designed to divide us, to keep us isolated, ignorant, dumbed down, sick, and cynical. And what I'm saying is that I think folks would be very wise to recognize those same patterns playing out in our community. And that's where we started our conversation tonight. And I think we've kind of come full circle. So I'll just leave it at that.
Fantastic. Let's do some final words. Mark, we'll start with you.
I think this is just a great, 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 great discussion. You know, and this is the type of thing that, as I said at the beginning, that we're striving for. Is this unity? Is this joining together of truthers, patriots, all having the discussion in a civil manner? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You can disagree as much as you want, as long as you maintain civility and not give in to what has been pounded into our heads over the past couple of decades of whoever screams the loudest wins the argument. No.
Absolutely.
Be the adult, agree to disagree, have the conversations, because the more that we converse and the more that we discuss, especially the hard topics, the more we will become unified. And that's all this is all about. If you want to ascend, transcend a little bit.
That's right. It's an inside job. And really, that's the other thing we didn't really touch upon. But I guess from my last comments for today, I'll say that that's really what it is, folks. I mean, we're going through a significant amount of spiritual development, whether folks realize it or not. And that the core of all spiritual development comes from within. You have to make choices. You have to go inward. And amidst all of this craziness, amidst all of this, you know, division and all of this disinformation and weaponized, propaganda that's cascading at us constantly, I think it's also was a part of the White Hat strategy as well, because they also knew that at a certain point in time, and remember in the beginning, it was just about information. We were all like sponges. You know, wanted to just soak up as much information, but at a certain point you get saturated. And what happens then? And I think for a lot of us, that happened probably well over a year ago, if not longer. At that point, it becomes much more of a spiritual quest. It becomes less about the information and the series of events. Sure, we analyze all those things. We track everything that's happening, and for good reason. But there are deeper levels to this thing. And I think that when you get to that point, you realize that suddenly it changes the entire trajectory of the journey. And you realize is that it's not about just simply getting it right and getting all of the information right. And figuring out like what the truth is, because all of that's going to come out anyway. It's really about us doing the harder work on ourselves. I think if you want to change the world, you got to start with yourself. I think it was Tolstoy who said, you know, everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to change themselves. And that's why the world never changes, right? Because it's hard work. That's probably the hardest thing we have to do. And how many people out there are even willing to do that? Even the people that are in our community, even the people that are, you know, embracing the fact that the mainstream media is lying. Again, this is the messy process that I'm talking about. It's shedding the old mentality. It's hard work, but it's not something that anybody out there can do for you. You have to make that choice. Do you want to be part of the light or do you not? Do you want to be part of the solution or do you want to be part of the problem? Do you want to continually get sucked into the enemy's game or do you want to transcend the enemy's game? That's how we win. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And
thank you, Patriot.
I think, I think everybody's seen over the last couple hours why Mark and I were so thrilled and honored when we were able to connect with Patriot Underground. Because I as I said from the get-go, I think what you guys saw here today is, one of the people that I consider to be one of one of the finest minds in this movement, in this gentleman in the middle right here, Patriot Underground. We've been scrolling his information at the bottom, so you guys can connect with his Rumble channel and his podcast. If you guys enjoy and are on this platform because you enjoy what we do, you know, and you haven't watched Patriot Underground before, I think you saw a preview of it today, and I really encourage everybody to check out his channel, because if you like what we do, you're going to absolutely love what goes on.
And likewise, my audience, because eventually I'm going to post this as well. And I just remind everybody, I don't know if I was clear about it. I reached out to Dave and I reached out to Dave and Mark, mm-hmm. because I have an enormous amount of respect for what you guys are doing. Okay. So these guys didn't reach out to me. I reached out to them because I wanted to connect with these two gentlemen, and I'm glad I did. And I had a feeling that this was going to be the nature of the conversation, the vibe, and we were going to get a really great rapport going, and definitely like to have you guys come on my platform at some point.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely going to do this again. We're going to continue this, and I echo your sentiments. I think when we talked, I had an idea in my head just based on having watched your work and knowing how we are, and I'm like, I have a feeling this is going to work really well. And I think, you know, again, it's been one of the best conversations I've had in my short time doing this, but I knew this is going to be the case. And again, I am incredibly happy and thankful that you did reach out. And I look
forward
to
doing it. Actually, Mark did reach out to me and I missed it, but I guess we were both trying to connect at the same time, you know? So I guess that's even more revealing, you know, the fact, I mean, God's bringing his people together. Exactly. And those make mistakes. So the fact that you guys, and kudos to you guys, you have an amazing platform that's only going to grow. I guarantee you.
Thanks.
I mean, it's incredible. You guys are doing amazing work, and I'm honored to be here. So thank you.
Thank you, Patriot.
Thank you.
And thank you all for watching, and stay tuned for tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Mark will be running Respect right here. And again, we'll have all of Patriot's information in the description box, as well as what you've seen on the screen. Thank you all for watching. God bless and take care. We'll talk soon.
God bless everybody.